This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 40, sponsored by YouBuyNow.com. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 40. I am Josh, and I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Connor.
Hi.
I'm literally here with them. At iFanboy.com, in case you don't know, we like comic books, so we started up a website where we can talk about comics. Every week we read a whole bunch of comics, and then one of us will pick the best one and write up a review about it on the website, and then we come here to the podcast where we talk really fast.
And this is our first Pick of the Week podcast back to our regular format after the San Diego Comic-Con, which we proudly survived. And it's also yet another podcast where the three of us are actually in one room at the same time.
So this is the first Pick of the Week podcast we've ever done live, per se.
Exactly. We found ourselves all in the New York metro area this weekend, so we figured let's do it in one place. So we're here at my house in Connecticut. So
where Ron wasn't kidding.
It's effing hot, man.
It's a hot room. It's a hot room.
I'm in a little room that's hot with two men.
So as you might have remembered or not remembered, there was no Pick of the Week podcast last week because we were in San Diego, slaving for you, giving you all the coverage.
And that's too bad because it was a controversial pick.
It was a controversial pick. Before we get to the show, we want to give you a quick reminder, a warning. This is a review show. We talk about the books that came out this past week. You've had a few days to read them.
So you could hear a spoiler coming up. We'll try to warn you, but from here on out, if you haven't read your books, be warned.
We're not going
to
warn you. That was the warning.
That was the warning.
There you go. I might. I'm a nice guy.
So so last week, the pick was Cable Deadpool number 30, I believe it was. Last week was really hard because we were in San Diego.
In case you didn't notice.
And what we did was we went and we found a local comic shop on Comics Ground in Hillside. We recommend it strongly. Michael, the proprietor, is a very good guy. And... we read our comics by the pool, and then we went swimming, and then we went to preview night, and then we had some nice dinner, and then we were up till 2 or 3 in the morning uploading pictures and writing our report of preview night, and then I had to write the freaking PAL.
It took longer to do all that than preview night actually was.
Exactly, which is ironic. But anyway, Cable Deadpool was the only, and Connor can attest to this because he was in the Chase Lounge 2 away from me. I laughed out loud 3 or 4 times.
I believe a buffer zone.
Yeah. No, Patrick was in the one. But anyway, but...
He was laughing out loud.
I laughed out loud. I don't normally read Cable Deadpool.
Were you just punchy?
So no, it wasn't even punchy. I don't normally read Cable Deadpool, so maybe that like inner monologue stuff was like an ongoing joke type thing. But like, and it was funny because I made Connor read it, and the parts that I loved with Deadpool, he hated, and the parts with Cable and Captain America that I thought were whatever, Connor thought was the best part of the book. So regardless, I know Civil War 3 happened. I know Thor's back. I know.
What?
There's a spoiler right there.
I know what else happened in last week. There was a
lot of good
books. X-Factor was awesome. It was a lot. I spent $56 on my books last week. So Cable Deadpool was the one that actually had me laughing and had me had a good time.
He was genuinely laughing at the side of the pool.
And that's what the pick week is.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it the most, and that's why he picked it.
So, here's what I didn't realize. I didn't realize there was a book called Cable Deadpool, and that they've gone 30 issues.
Yeah, and apparently Cable's the leader of a small nation in the South Pacific. I didn't know that either.
That was very confusing.
I'm an X-Men fan, and I wasn't aware of that at all.
That's crazy. You owe Rob Liefeld money.
So, all right, so that said, let's get to this week. It is...
Hey, it's you again.
Why? Because we're losers.
Right. So 2 weeks in a row, I stepped up to the pick of the week mantle, and I spent a lot of money again this week on about 13 books or so. But I went to the our shipping list on the site to look at the list of books, and I completely miscounted or missed this or whatever. So when I went to the store and I'm perusing the racks, I see there's the little new title flag at my store under Astro City. And I didn't even know a new one was coming out, so at first I thought, is this a new trade paperback? Is this some sort of collection? Because as anybody knows who knows about Astro City, it never comes out. But
and every time in the back, he's like, this time we're going to get back on the schedule.
Actually, in this issue, he totally
said it. Yeah, I've read that before.
No, he didn't say it. He said that we're doing it at our own pace.
Right.
Yeah, he actually said
that. But he said he wants to get some in the can so that they can start releasing them regularly, exactly. And I've heard that before.
So anyway, regardless, so I was very excited to see this special... big 40-page special issue come out because I love Astro City. I think Astro City is probably one of the best comic books of the 90s. If you haven't gone back and read the trade paperbacks, be it the first introduction to the universe and the characters or the Fantastic Confessor storyline, which I remember us in college talking about.
I will say that was the series that I really first started to love after I got back into comics, after Connor indirectly got me to read comics, but like, that was the book that I was... They were like, you should read this because I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. And what was great and what really made me think and made me want to pick this to pick of the week was on the inside cover where the credits and stuff, there's a little text box that says, what you need to know before reading this issue. And it says, nothing, really. Dive on in. The water's fine. No continuity. No sides being chosen. No years missing. No... anything, all the things that bog down Marvel and DC that, as the continuity freak, I happen to enjoy.
Oh, the irony.
the print isn't dead. The Astro City book, Astro City line of comics, yeah, there are history there. There are characters there. But to read, you could hand this comic book to somebody who only vaguely knows about the concept of superheroes and they can read it and enjoy it. It's just a well-written, well-executed, well-drawn superhero story. And what's really cool is that finally this character, the Infidel, which was introduced about 10 years ago in one painting by Alex Ross.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, because actually I used it for a website a couple of years ago. We turned one of my coworkers into a supervillain, and that was the imagery that we used. Anyway,
weird office.
It was the .com days. It was wacky. Anyway, so I remembered the character, and it was great to see his origin story be told, and it was also great at the same time for his origin story to be told as the Samaritan character, who is basically the Superman archetype of Astro City, as his main...
adversary?
Adversary, exactly.
Isn't Samaritan the guy in the first issue of Astro City?
Yes, it is.
I believe he was also the first image on iFanboy.com.
He was.
Yes, it was our placeholder page picture. We totally stole that image.
All right. But anyway, so the...
How much Ross will charge us?
So this was, so all in all, this was just a great superhero book that doesn't get bogged down by the crap that we're used to and just reminded me what good superhero books are about. And I wish Kurt Busiek and Brent Anderson would do this more often. And it looks like they're getting some in the can and they'll release it. And it's really, it's that kind of thing that is worth waiting for.
You know what's nice is that after a whole bunch of them end up in the can, they're all going to be done by the same team.
Yes.
There's not one that hasn't been drawn by Brent Anderson. There's not one that didn't have an Alex Ross cover. And like that's actually, like, latenesses all aside, like, they'll all end up looking the same when they're done, which is neat.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency of the art team...
Has it been Brent Anderson the whole time?
It's been Brent Anderson the whole time.
Has it been the same
and which I No, not that I'm aware of. And ironically, and it must be Alex Sinclair. Alex Sinclair did the colors. I don't know what it is about Astro City, but I remember Brett Anderson did Rising Stars.
Yeah, he did.
And it was something else, too, and it just didn't look as good as this was.
He's a horrible inker.
He's inking this.
He's inking this.
What? No. But the same guy who did Rising Stars inked this?
No.
Rising Stars inker was really bad. He ruined the guy before him, too.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of interesting...
I hope you're not listening.
...to see Brent Anderson's work looks best in Astro City for some reason. I think maybe because he does all the art.
Well, I think also it's a synergy. When there's a project you really like, you tend to work better on it. And everybody strikes gold here. I mean, this is Busiek and Busiek Superman. They're not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because this is basically Superman,
and which is really funny because I kind of wanted to go up to Kurt Busiek at San Diego and ask him this, but then I also didn't want to have the awkward interaction. But like, I don't care about Aquaman, main accent aside. I don't care about Superman. I mean, if I had to put down $3 once a month, I would put down $3 for Astro City every time.
You'd put down six.
I'd put down six. Yeah, I would put down $6 a month for Astro City if I got it monthly. And the thing is that I guess maybe there's more money for Superman, or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the art that holds it up, but it's a real shame. But
the Samaritan costume design is awesome, by the way. They went and they took the regular sort of superhero cape and they gave it like a whole different spin, and you know, just enough just to change it.
Yeah. So anyway, so Astro City, good stuff. If you never read it, pick up this book. Start.
It's a great introductory book.
Go pick up the trade paperbacks.
You can go pick up any of the trades and start from there. There's no order. I mean, there is an order that they came out
there's
in,
a
but
vague order.
Right.
But all the books sort of stand on their own. The Confessor storyline is probably the strongest one.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Jack in the Box. He's one of my favorite characters just because it's so wacky.
Yeah, he's good.
Good stuff. Yeah.
So Astro City was the pick, but a whole buttload of other books came out, and let's probably touch upon the Civil War books, because Civil War is what everybody's talking about, including Stephen Colbert. So out of all the Civil War books, what was your guy's favorite one?
I think Amazing Spider-Man's firing on all cylinders. You may or may not know from hanging out, I'm not a big Straczynski fan. I think he's done some good work, but a lot of it has felt really lackluster for a guy whose name is as big as his is. And but his last few months on Amazing Spider-Man have just been great. I think it's probably the best side title going on right now in Civil War.
I was impressed by Amazing Spider-Man. I thought Amazing Spider-Man was very good. It was cool.
Amazing Spider-Man or... I don't know, Wolverine was really good.
Wolverine's been consistently good. Wolverine's been the best consistent Civil War side title, I think, definitely. But also New Avengers was really good, too, telling Luke Cage's side of the story, and I got a little choked up at the end.
Luke Cage, less thuggish than Falcon.
Yes.
This brings up... Yeah, I mean, he can do it there. I don't know. Which brings up the question that we were kind of talking about earlier today at lunch. Not that any of you need to know that, so I'm sorry I said it. Anyway,
I wasn't even there.
Exactly. What does the Superhero Registration Act mean? Now in New Avengers, they go to arrest Jessica Jones, who I do not believe is a practicing superhero.
Well, she says that in New Avengers. Yeah, she goes, I have powers, I have no intention of using them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you still need to register, and if we need you, we'll let you know, kind of thing.
Then it's like the Mutant Registration Act.
But then really. also, like, Tony Stark isn't superpowered. He has a super suit.
So he takes his suit off.
And he's just a normal guy. He shouldn't need to register. I think there's a lot of gray area. For example, the Punisher. Does the Punisher need to register? He's just a guy with a bunch of machine guns and a bad attitude.
But he's vigilanteing.
Right, but he doesn't have powers.
It's vague. I think they even mentioned that in San Diego. They didn't actually define it.
See, the
which
thing,
I think is the only hole in this whole thing.
Well, I don't know if it's the Superhuman Registration Act or the Superhero Registration Act. Superheroing would be putting on a costume or having an identity and going around being a vigilante, fighting crime, right. doing
it's
whatever
the
on your own.
It's the superhuman registration act, so you don't actually have to be heroing. You just have to have the
abilities.
So if
you're human, then Frank Castle's in the clear.
Right, and I guess they're going to address that because we saw the teaser image of Captain America and
Didn't
Punisher.
He have a bomb strapped to him in that thing?
It looks like he's some sort of restraining device.
Yeah. Well, that guy's a jerk. He needs it.
Frank Castle? Frank Castle rules.
You just gave me the stink eye. I don't like doing the podcast with you guys.
Our legs are touching, by the way.
It's true.
kind of weird.
If I wiggle my toe, it touches Ron's hip.
All right, anyway. So,
and then the podcast got weird.
Connor, you thought Runaways Young Avengers was good, though, right?
Well, I thought it was good. I thought it was... Josh was saying it was going to be bad.
Yeah. Whoa!
You did.
I said I don't really have a thing for Zeb Wells. It wasn't Brian K. Vaughan.
It was
so
a little cliche.
Well, see, my thing was it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be because Josh lowered the bar.
Know what I did like, though, on that? I did like the connection between Vision and the Son of Ultron.
Yeah,
because they're basically related somehow. I can't figure out.
But then again, I don't even know. I read two of it.
Vision
two
is an Ultron thing.
Vision
is
the
son of Ultron.
No.
Yeah. He's the son of Ultron.
Is Vision son of Ultron?
Yes.
Okay, so then... So they're brothers, then. Yeah. Interesting.
But I don't know anything about Young Avengers, because I only bought one or two issues, so I didn't even know there was a Vision.
Yeah, there's a Vision, yeah.
He's not the old Vision?
No, he's a new Vision.
How come that robot slept with the woman?
Anyway.
It's getting wacky.
It is getting wacky. It's late at night, by the way, so...
And should we talk about Frontline? I mean, it is one of the top...
You know, at like 52, I don't think we need to talk about it every week, to be honest with you. Although same
things with it. Although
Speedball got
fucking Billy Joel. I feel like I have been the strongest supporter of those last four pages of Frontline up to this day.
This was the weakest one, and not because of Billy Joel, but it's just the weakest one overall.
And then he comes around with Billy Joel.
The Speedball part was good.
You're from Long Island.
Listen, doesn't mean I'm proud of it. Doesn't mean I'm proud of the Billy
Joel. It was not strong, regardless of what the origin of the music
is. Next issue, maybe Celine Dion lyrics.
May I point out that my original thought about Frontline was it's a great concept and I'm concerned about the execution.
You were? That's what you said. You said...
Yes. So,
you picked the first one as your pick of the week, though, didn't you?
As I picked the first Decimation one, or Generation M.
You know how to pick future losers.
Exactly, apparently. I see the potential, and unfortunately Paul Jenkins fails.
So. But he's so engaging in person.
He's very engaging.
It happens a lot. Yeah. It's Brad Meltzer can explain a JLA comic and make it sound great.
Oh my god, JLA Zero was so bad. Not to go back to last week, but I'm sorry, JLA Zero was awful.
It was not.
I'm sorry that you got to miss last week, though, because there was so much good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, it would be the lost week.
Can I mention one thing? I don't want to talk about the issue because I don't think any of us liked it, and I don't think anybody did. The X-Men that came out? Okay, but I don't want to talk about that, though. I want to talk about the backup story.
Oh, right.
The Hostess
right.
Cupcake story.
What the hell was that?
It really did remind me of the Hostess Fruit Pies.
The Masked Marvel
the
thing.
Yeah, it's their new character that they're trying to introduce or something.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It's not a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
It's not a promotional thing?
No, it's legit.
Bad panels in there. Carl Kiesel has been around a long time.
Yeah.
That was written, I mean...
It's bad.
I have to admit, I don't read it.
I know what's also interesting is that it's appearing in both Ultimate and regular Marvel U proper books, so I don't know where they're going with that. I thought it was
conspiracy theorists emerge.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I read that it's a new character that will emerge after Civil War, but I could be wrong. But
did you notice, like, it took place in the world where, like the old Stan Lee took place, he existed with a Fantastic Four?
Yeah, it reminds me of those 70 Novas that I'm reading.
Except it sucked.
Yeah, it blew. Well, thank you for interrupting the rundown to talk about that.
I was done with Civil War.
So,
what about the book we all thought would be the pick of the week?
The Anticlimactic Daredevil number 87?
I didn't think it was anticlimactic at all.
I read it, and I was just like, Iron Fist.
Well, he's the, you know what?
I'm in
what?
With, we figured thought, out, we figured it out in San Diego.
But then, you know, even in the beginning, he was the logical choice.
Yeah.
But you know what? It makes complete sense.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and also the anticlimactic was the end, which I don't know how much we want to get into spoilers, but the last panel...
We had the disclaimer, go for it.
Where's the disclaimer? The last panel revealing...
You could not say it, though.
Revealing that person is alive.
Foggy?
Yes. Foggy is alive.
He just took the bull by the horns there.
Disclaimer, man. What's the point of the disclaimer?
I know. Anyway, the panel showing the Foggy is indeed alive was just made me groan.
But you know what, though?
You know, like, oh,
we all
on.
Said it that if he was actually...
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Chloe in Smallville. Remember when Chloe blew up in the finale?
Right.
And then in the next episode, it's like, but she got away right before the house blew up.
That was lame. But
and this isn't?
No, because... And I know before I said I'd be pissed off if he wasn't dead.
You did, too. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And
thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. My leg's asleep. Sorry.
This this makes perfect sense. We never saw the body.
Right.
It happened in a federal facility.
Yeah. And now he has a mustache.
And now he's got a mustache thingy going on. He's in the protection program. It makes complete sense.
I know.
I wasn't upset about it. And Iron Fist makes sense. If I were to go to prison, I would want one of you to impersonate me. And Iron Fist is one of our Daredevil's best friends. So.
Right, yeah. I actually got this ruined for me on the board.
You know what he did? He read the Pick of the Week thread.
I didn't read the Pick of the Week thread. All I did was I went in the next morning, I saw that you had posted, and I scrolled down to see how many people had commented, and I saw the word Iron Fist, and that was enough.
Yeah.
That I was like, fuck.
But of course we figured, but the thing is, and it was anticlimactic, because in our talking about it, and after hearing the Marvel panels, and they confirmed that it wasn't a Hawkeye, although I bet you at one point it was Hawkeye. I bet you.
Are you thinking it's like an Armageddon scenario?
Well, because I was reading something, and they mentioned Hawkeye in a grouping of characters, like in the Mighty Avengers, something like that. Like, I think it might have been a Wizard.
Well, here's the other question. Who is in Civil War? Is it Iron Fist or is it Matt Murdock?
That's a very good question. Because in the Civil War number 3, he kind of had red hair.
And in one of these spin-off books, it's Daredevil on the costume, and it's Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
So, who is it?
Here's the question to me. Does Iron Fist flip coins? What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet you it was Hawkeye. It was like Captain Atom and Armageddon all over again.
Yeah.
You know about that?
No.
In 2001, they had the
I don't know anything about comics.
The DC, they didn't use the crossovers in the books, they did in the annuals.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one in DC was Armageddon, and it was a look in the future. Some of the heroes turned evil and killed everybody. And it was going to be Captain Atom, and the word leaked out, so at the last minute, they changed it to be Hawk from Hawk and Dove. Yeah. And it was completely lame.
Who cares about freaking Hawk?
Who is he?
I was just going to say, do you even know?
I've heard of it, but I remember thinking, like, Hawk and Dove?
Yeah. And that was before the internet. I mean, that was like...
Yeah.
That was like...
The internet wasn't around in 2001?
Well, no, the book was called 2001, because 10 Years in the Future was 1991.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there somehow, somehow it leaked out, but I don't know how it did that, but anyway.
I bet you
that's what
happened. It was written on a bathroom wall.
Moving on.
So, but Daredevil, it was still good.
It was good.
Freaking quality. It's still one of the best books. It didn't punch it for me.
Look at that cover.
And I have
the
to
cover
admit,
is good.
I apologize to Ron.
Yes.
I was presumptuous, because we all know Ron doesn't like covers that don't match the inside of the book.
And Connor said to me, you're not going to like Daredevil. I said, why? Because the cover is two Daredevils fighting. And I said, right, yeah, I saw that. Why wouldn't I like it? He goes, because I bet that doesn't happen in the book. And I'm like, you know, I bet it does.
And I got to the main splash page, and I went, ugh. I was going to call him, but I didn't.
Don't Nelson on this.
So, in a similar vein to Daredevil, DC's Batman came out this week, right?
This is
the
premiere.
So, Ron's going to go to the bathroom right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't because my leg's asleep. I can't move.
This is the premiere issue of Grant Morrison. So,
thank you for pointing to his name.
I don't like this
in person. Go back on Skype. I don't like this. Anyway.
I was terrified to open this because we all love Grant Morrison.
We know.
But he can go either way, brilliant or just completely off the rails.
Rainbow Jacket.
Right. So, and Josh can attest, because we talked about it, I was terrified. It is Batman, and he did such a good Batman in Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
This was awesome.
This was awesome. This is good Grant Morrison. I didn't buy this. Unlike the Paul Dini Batman, I didn't buy this.
It made perfect sense. It tracked. It read.
It was clear.
It was...
Who did the art?
Andy Kubert.
The good Kubert?
Yes.
He is. I get them mixed up, Andy and Adam,
and I
didn't know what it was going to be. I was like, was it that guy who does the 1602, which I don't really like that. This guy's awesome. He's good.
And yeah, this is very much, the feel of this is very much Batman Begins. This is sort of the Christian Bale-ish Batman.
Chris Nolan.
Whereas the detective
is sort of the Paul Dini animated series Batman. But this is like, he's got surrounded by women and... Alfred's like, you gotta lighten up.
And you really...
Go out and get laid.
You really learn that this is sort of a separate book from Detective, and they're just gonna... You kinda gotta... I think somebody sent us a letter about which is which. Oh, he made the face. I wasn't supposed to say that yet, but we're talking about it. But
oh, no, I made the face because my leg's asleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's moved legs.
I hate being in the same room with you guys. Anyway, with Detective and Batman, they're not gonna work together right now. They're gonna be in separate places.
Right.
Like, it's going to be one kind of story, and one of them maybe have it a little different, then I think you got to loosen up on the continuity a little bit. Because in this Batman, there were some things, and I was like, well, they kind of already dealt with this, but, you know.
The Greg Rucka years, where the books were really linked.
Yeah.
This is more like the old, they were never linked. You know, this is right. Like the classic. Grant Morrison already said this is more of an international Batman, and he's going...
Abroad.
Yeah, I think he's in London.
Yeah.
He's doing a semester in London.
Yeah, he's doing one of those cruises, Semester at Seas.
Oh, nice.
He's gonna get that.
He's PhD so gonna finally. Get laid.
Yeah, probably. But he's, you know, this is Batman globetrotting. You just have to like.
We haven't done that in a long
enjoy
time.
Enjoy Batman separately for what it is.
Right. That's like the old.
But I think you might like.
As Josh teased, we do have a lot of Batman themed listener mail though, so that's
do
coming
we?
Up. Yeah, we do.
Are we done with our books?
I think we're done with our books. I know we're going a little fast because it's hot in the room and we're hyper because we've been out all night, and so we're gonna try to slow it down a little bit and tell you about our lovely sponsor. This episode is sponsored by YouBuyNow.com.
What happened to the slowing down part?
This episode... Okay. YouBuyNow is your spot on the web for toys, action figures, collectibles, and prop replicas. You can check out their site to see their great collection of DC Direct, Marvel Legends, and Master Replicas, Star Wars figures, and lots more. If you use iFanboy as your coupon code when you place your order, you'll get 10% off, and that's only good...
Monday.
You're basically, hear yeah, until the end of this month, so get on it while you can. So that's YouBuyNow.com. That's YOUBUYNOW.com. YouBuyNow.
Now!
YouBuyNow.
My foot's asleep.
So so that wraps up this week's books. It was a big week.
I had 15
good
books.
Stuff. Strangers in Paradise was great, by the way, too. But anyway. So we have a lot. So we got a lot of listener mail, and we got a lot of voicemails over the past 2 weeks when we were in San Diego, stuff like that. We can't play them all. A lot of you asked a lot of questions about what we're doing in San Diego and things like that, so we're not going to bother with those. But we got them. Please keep them coming. So our first email.
God, I hope we got new listeners this week.
Our first email comes from George. He's been listening to a podcast since January, and he thinks it's entertaining, educational, and interesting, which is new. His question is related to what we were just talking about. He wants to know what the difference between the book, quote-unquote, Batman and the book Detective Comics is. He's read them both, and they seem pretty much the same. He's confused at the point of having both books, and he's sort of wary about purchasing two books. Should he just buy Batman and leave Detective Comics alone, or vice versa?
Well, now they're
as we just said about a minute ago, they are different. They both have different feels. You might like one more than the other.
Plus, the Detective Comics is more of Batman being an actual detective. He solves a crime. It's a one-issue, single, it contains story, Batman mystery. Whereas the Grant Morrison Batman book is a globetrotting, adventuring superhero Batman.
Ongoing stories. Yeah.
Typically,
yeah,
Batman is more likely to go off the rails. Historically.
Right. Historically.
Yeah. The whale storyline.
And Detective Comics will be more typical Batman kind of thing.
But there's a lot of Batman to tell. That's why you've got two books. I mean, right. In the past you had four books.
Why are there multiple Superman books? Why are there multiple X-Men books, right?
To make money. Yeah. But there's a lot of stories you can tell those characters.
So thank you for that email. Our next email is Batman-related, and as in a rare occurrence, it's such a good email, we're going to read it word for word, so bear with us. Hi guys, long-time listener, first-time writer, love the podcast. Being the Bat expert, maybe Connor can get this one. I just finished off the first two issues of Gotham Central in trade form, and while I love them, the one thing sticks in my mind. When Agent Driver is leaving at the end of the second book, why is Batman standing by his car? Was he walking home? Did he need a ride to the Batcave? Was the Batwing at the mechanics? As someone who doesn't usually read Batman books, is there something I'm missing here? Also, Driver says, and damn you too, to Batman's face. What's the deal? Wouldn't Batman kick his ass? I'd kick his ass. I'd say, no way, damn you. That's what I'd say. Thanks to Connor and Josh for the fantastic recommendation. Thanks to Ron for all the other stuff. Keep up the good work, guys. Make mine iFanboy. Signed, Gabriel.
We know who you are.
What's Gotham Central?
I don't know. Some book we told people to read because DC was giving us money.
Ago.
I don't even think you need to respond to that email.
Batman doesn't need to kick anybody's ass. He's freaking Batman. Everyone knows he could kick his ass.
Basically, he was there to basically show the cops he was pissed at them and try to be like scary, like I'm Batman moment. Right. And like,
I read that years ago. You remember this?
The intimidating
one? Yeah, he was trying to be intimidating, and Driver wasn't
so did Driver hear him say, damn you? I mean, did Batman hear him?
Yeah, he's right there.
Batman hears a pin drop.
But what's Batman going to do? Beat a cop up?
Yeah.
No, I mean...
Cop killer.
Exactly.
That'd be a great storyline. Batman loses it.
But, I mean, Batman was there to intimidate and didn't work. That was the whole point of the book.
Greg wrote a nice tea reference, in case you missed that.
I did.
We ignored it intentionally.
But the whole point of the Gotham Central book was to show the cops. Not all the cops were scared of Batman.
Right.
And that was the point of that scene, I think.
Josh just made a move on me. Alright, so our next email, this is from the Dear Abby column.
Awesome.
Recently found your podcast and I love it. It's like getting books at the shop, it's like getting to talk at the shop about your books and your opinions on them, blah blah blah. Anyway, on to my question comment. What is it with fanboys trying to get their girlfriends to read comics? You should be lucky to have a girlfriend, especially if she's actually attractive. Sorry, chubby goths don't count. why would you want to jeopardize, spelled wrong, your relationship by forcing your hobby onto her? I mean, comic reading is a solo adventure. You do it by yourself. Sure, it's fun to have someone to discuss what you read with afterwards, but that's why there are podcasts, the internet, and people at your local shop. Some might say, quote-unquote, well, I want her to share my interest. But sharing similar interests in movies, food, TV is important before you share those experiences with other people. But comics you can enjoy on your own. Stop geeking out your girlfriends. If they seem interested, don't overdo it, and then bitch about their lack of bagging and boarding etiquette. My girlfriend will gladly see a comic movie or stop by the shop with me, but I'm not going to press my luck by asking her to jump in the whole leotard into the white leotard to complete my cloak and dagger costume for the next con I've always dreamed of.
Why not?
In closing, stop harassing your girlfriends about comics. It's not that important. Signed, Jason from Chicago.
Oh, that's a lot of stereotypes in there right there.
But he does have a point, though. I mean, I think that in terms of the Dear Abby thing, like, you shouldn't shove the comics down your girlfriend's face.
May I?
Sure.
Here's the thing. I think that what you're doing is you're putting comic books in a ghetto when you talk about them like that.
And
you
ooh,
think
that, look it's true. Look who's,
no, he's right.
You are. You're
gentrifying the comics.
You're putting comics in a ghetto in the sense that you're thinking that there's nothing valuable about them and they're only geeky.
Yeah.
The fact is, one of the things that we try to do with this show is we try to say the fact that comics are just another way to tell a story. They're just as valid as a book, a novel, a TV show. Listen, if she doesn't like to read, that's fine. But if you read a story and you think, hey, this person who's my girlfriend or my friend or whoever would like this story, why wouldn't you try to share it with her? I mean, I don't give my girlfriend comics.
You've got a girlfriend?
Shit. But, oh, God. My wife. Well, she was my girlfriend longer than that. I don't give my wife comics that I know she won't like. I'm not going to give her a Superman comic, but I can read something and go, she'd really like this story. I gave her The Escapists. I said, you'll like this. And she did.
Now, may I play devil's advocate?
Please do.
Okay. I feel as if also, though, the liking or disliking of comics becomes almost a deal breaker in the comic geek fans world, where it's like, I like comics. Would you say our like of comics somewhat defines us, and you want to be accepted by whomever you're with? For example, I might read a book that my significant other I want to recommend to, and she might not be into it. I shake it off, no big deal, she's not into it, that's not her type of book. She pushes away the comic, it's like, you just don't like comics, you don't accept me as a comic reader. You see, I think there's more value placed on comics, for whatever reason.
The only thing that I would like to say about that is that I don't need her to like comics, I don't need her to read comics, but I do need her to understand that comics are not my little childish folly.
That's the point.
And this is like, I've had to do this with like my family. Like, right. You know, they're all like, oh, he reads comics, but I need them to understand that comics are a real and valid thing and they're not a childish thing.
But an important thing of that is that some people need to be defined by the acceptance of comics by those close to them. And it's separating yourself from that definition that just like in the case in point, my sister and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is a diehard Yankee fan. My sister listens to Barry Manilow. Neither pushes that on each other person,
sure.
And they get along fine. But I feel as if one of them was a comic reader, that might become an issue because of the value that comic readers put on their comic.
There's
hobby.
So much of an inferiority complex with comic readers. They feel like
exactly.
They have to always be.
That letter had a
validated.
Little bit of an inferiority complex behind.
Well,
it.
This whole part in the beginning, I'm annoyed by. What is it with fanboys trying to get their girlfriends with comics? You should be lucky to have a girlfriend, and lucky if she's attractive.
Yeah, I agree.
It might be a little sensationalist, though. Chubby goths don't count.
They certainly don't.
iFanboy apologizes to all the chubby goths who might listen to the podcast.
That was really good.
Thank you. All right, so Jason, you started some controversy, but
you gave us good stuff to talk about.
Moving on. All right, our next and last email before we get on to the voicemails is from Jeff in Greeley, Colorado. He's been listening to the podcast for the last couple of weeks and is pretty much caught up, so he feels worthy to ask us a few questions. Jeff,
anyone is worthy.
You're always worthy. In fact, we're not even worthy. The first one isn't really a question. It's more of him being a smartass. But here goes. You guys have said that you don't care about the monetary value of your comics. It's all about books being good reads. This is noble in theory, but I don't think it works all the time. By what you said, you guys should be perfectly willing to trade me a copy of Why the Last Man number 1 for the first trade paperback. Or Uncanny X-Men number 137 for the Dark Phoenix Saga trade paperback. Or to be really stupid, if you had a copy of Action Comics number 1, you should be willing to trade it to me for the Watchmen trade paperback, since Watchmen is a better read.
Well,
so before we get to his second question, let's address that one.
He's all over the map.
Because hang on, I'm going to say it now. Balance his first question when you hear the second question. Just remember that.
Okay. There's a separation between actual value and no actual value. Action Comics number 1 actual value because there's so few of them.
So you have Action Comics number one. I have Watchmen trade. You would not want to make that trade,
right?
That because would be stupid. Because Action Comics is like worth saying, something.
It's actually valuable.
Right? That would be like trading a Cobra, Ford Cobra, for a Honda, because they both get you where you're going. That's right. Ridiculous, though.
Yeah.
Why The Last Man number one? Yes, I will trade you for my Pacific paperback.
Right, because currently Why The Last Man number one is worth maybe $7.
Or not even that. It's not worth that.
However, now, I have the entire line. I have the entire run of Why The Last Man. I like that I have the entire run of Why The Last Man. I've been collecting them now. I know they're not necessarily worth anything, and I don't think I'd not trade them for that reason, but I kind of like having my unbroken line of comics.
Conversely, I only read Why The Last Man in trade form,
mm-hmm. Right?
And I don't buy the single issues because I've started collecting it in trade form.
Right. Sure.
So, but I do have a slabbed CGC 9.9 number one Why The Last Man, which I will trade you for your entire run because it's worth $90 million.
I don't want that.
No, I'm kidding. I don't have any slabbed books.
This is the point. Someone here who's not me, explain how I keep my comics.
Connor has a large stack of unbagged and boarded comics that sometimes gets 4 feet high.
And that is the value I place on my comics, because they are not valuable.
The weekly issues that you pick up. But,
they're not valuable.
But if I bought you a copy of...
JLA number one, Grant Morrison.
I have it.
Do you keep it in a bag?
It's in a bag.
But that's from the era when I was
bagging. But what I'm saying, no, if I picked up a Denny O'Neil, Neil Adams Batman from the 70s.
That's actually valuable, though. It's old.
Right, so you would keep it separately.
Yeah, anything.
There's a difference between collecting aged comics and collecting current comics.
Because there's a dearth of aged comics.
Right. It's a dearth of new comics. This is supply and demand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's like anything else.
It's not as simple as you make it, Jeff.
But the other thing is that, I was going through my comics, and I pulled out all my issues of Queen and Country, because I wanted to read them again. And I'm looking at them in the line, and I'm going, I really like having this stack of... There's something, satisfying about a stack of comic books, a full run of 40 books or something like that. That's not necessarily... Those books aren't worth anything. It's probably be easier to have the trade, but I really like them. I don't know the tactile thing about them.
Who are you?
I don't know. So, I'm all over the map.
Jeff's second question, and if you remember earlier, I said the balance is first question with his second question, which he admits is his geek question. If we were in charge of the X-Men, the Avengers, and the Justice League, who would be in the lineups for each?
Do you have 12 hours?
And here's his... Do we want to hear his choices, or do we want
to
say
super high brow to super low brow?
Exactly. His choices are, the X-Men would consist of Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus, Phoenix, Kitty Pryde, Rogue, and Beast. Avengers would consist of Captain America, Thor, Vision, Ms. Marvel, Hawkeye, Spider-Woman, and Luke Cage. JLA would be Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Power Girl, Mr. Terrific, and Zatanna.
A lot of boobs on that JLA.
So let's. I guess I'll do the X-Men.
Yeah, what do you think of his list here? Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus.
I agree with a lot of it. The thing is that I think the X-Men need Cyclops, Wolverine, Colossus. It needs Colossus. You need power. You need strength. I would substitute Beast for Nightcrawler, to be honest with you.
Is he going to put Rouge on the team?
Rogue. Did he spell Rouge?
Everyone spells it Rouge.
No, he spelled it Rogue. Oh, no, he spelled it Rouge. He did spell it Rogue. I would keep Kitty Hawk. I'd probably drop Phoenix.
Kitty Hawk.
Kitty Pryde. Kitty Hawk. That's when the plane took off. I would keep Kitty... So I would say Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus, Kitty Pryde, and Nightcrawler. That would be my five X-Men. Because the X-Men have to be either five or seven.
Yeah, so there's too many X-Men spoils.
If they were my five, that would be my five. If I had to add two more for seven, I probably would add... I probably would add Phoenix, and I probably would add...
Chicken Guy.
It's a tough one.
He's ignoring me.
Iceman.
Chicken Guy?
Maybe Iceman, or Angel. I'm a big Angel fan. So, anyway. Avengers. Josh, since you're the Captain America guy.
All right.
It has to have Captain America.
I love having Thor in the Avengers. I really like the combination of Thor and Captain America. You've got to have... I really liked having... whatever her name is now. Miss Marvel or Warbird or her.
Miss Marvel.
I also really liked having Scarlet Witch and Vision on there. I thought they were sort of the classic Avengers team.
Beast.
Beast is an Avenger.
Beast became more of an Avenger than he is an X-Men.
It's true, yeah.
I like to have Hawkeye there as a counterpoint of Captain America. Huh. And then maybe Janet Van Dyne.
Wasp, good choice. I'm a big Hank Pym fan, by the way.
Sort of the early 90s lineup.
Yeah. Well, that's what I first came in. That's the classic lineup.
It's a good lineup.
I don't really need Iron Man there for some reason.
Well, he's a drunk. And after finding out, he's a jerk.
And a cock.
So, yeah, and a cock. Nice. Connor, Justice League.
Hey, jeez.
You gotta have the big three.
Not necessarily.
Who would you drop from the big three?
Wonder
Woman, right? Because you're a misogynist. Say it.
You wouldn't have Zatanna.
You know, sometimes it's more interesting to not have Superman in Justice League.
Hot, though.
You need Zatanna because she's the magic.
Yeah.
I don't know about this lineup here. See, the thing about Justice League is you can have a really big team and it still works.
You know what? You know
I still say seven. On the team.
They're missing.
Huh.
It's got a ring.
There's no Green Lantern.
There's no Green Lantern.
So I say you got Batman, Wonder Woman.
I think Wonder Woman and Power Girl and Superman all cancel each other.
Yeah, you got too many big hitters here. Power Girl or Wonder Woman, but not both. And Mr. Terrific, I like him, but no. So you need Green Lantern, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Flash, Zatanna. And I love Martian Manhunter.
I think that's the cliche, but...
Hold on there
a second. I think you missed one, Polly.
Oh, no, he's back!
Oh, you want to put Aquaman on a team there. You remember in the early ones there where no one can understand him because he's from underwater and his voice is real low? Those were wicked funny! You remember?
I do like Aquaman.
Anyway, so Jeff's last comment is in relation to last week's pick of the week, where he says, finally, Cable Deadpool is the pick of the week. Stay off the pipe, guys. Well, guess what, Jeff? Do your own site. Do your own pick, all right? Give me a break. Go F yourself.
Oh! That was the heat talk.
Jeff, I'm sorry. Yeah, that is the heat. It's so hot.
Thanks for the fun letter.
So seriously. Thank you, Jeff. That was a great letter. That was very good. All right, so now we're going to dive into our voicemails. We have a lot of voicemails, so strap yourselves in and get ready.
Hey, guys. This is Kyle, the guy that wrote you the furb yet polite email about X-Men 3. Thanks for my 15 minutes of fame, by the way. But my question is, I was wondering what you guys thought of DC's All-Star line and Marvel's Ultimate line, because it seems like you guys are really into continuity and history and stuff like that. I was just wondering how you felt about the changes that have been made, and if you guys read any of the books. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Kyle, for the voicemail. We're glad we didn't scare you off from our reaction to your X-Men
Which is still one of our favorite email discussions of all time.
So, what do we think of All-Star, DC Comics, and Ultimate?
They have people go lumping us all in together. You guys all like continuity. That's Ron's bag.
That's my bag.
I could take it or leave it. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't.
It works in your favor to not take it.
I guess.
Because you don't need to know the continuity.
I don't. I remember weird
things. If it's before 1994, I don't know it.
No, but if it's like before 1994, but after 1989, I'm pretty good in that area.
Right. So,
Ultimates?
Ultimates.
I like Ultimates.
I gotta say, I was kind of dead set against the Ultimate Universe back in 2001. I was vehement, and I gotta say, Ultimate Spider-Man is gold every month, and Ultimate X-Men not so much. But I like the Ultimates a lot, so I give the Ultimate line a thumbs up.
But they're expanding it. Didn't they announce Ultimate Vision book?
Yeah, and who's writing it? Mike Carey. Yeah, that won't be good either.
He's
not good.
It's not him. It's Bocciolo.
Anyway,
but it's good. I mean. As good as JMS's Amazing Spider-Man is, Ultimate Spider-Man is the Spider-Man book.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I never had a problem with another continuity. It doesn't interfere with the other books. It's a whole retelling of it. And you might say that it's redundant, it doesn't need to exist, or whatever. I don't care. They're good comic books.
Yeah. All right, All-Star Comics, DC.
Have you read
them?
I've only read the first issues of Batman, the first issue of Superman, and they annoyed me.
I'm going to say they're a big, fat failure.
Maybe if they came out on time, they wouldn't be.
Exactly.
I have to admit, it's a disaster.
It's confirmed, All-Star Wonder Woman coming both written and drawn by Adam Hughes. Can you name one book that Adam Hughes has written before this?
He draws ladies.
I don't know about writing the ladies, though.
He draws ladies.
So,
Buxom ladies.
So, so we're getting an All-Star Wonder Woman. I also heard there was going to be an All-Star Donna Troy as well.
Because the fans are totally lying.
I'm totally lying.
I like really confused.
I know. I just want to see Connor's look at his face like, what panel did you hear that?
I would read like All-Star Green Lantern if it was done by somebody really good. Maybe.
Well, the thing is, they are good. Everybody's doing it.
The problem I have with the All-Star books is that they don't matter. The Ultimate books still matter to each other. They created this little pocket, you know, continuity universe. And the All-Star books, honestly, if those All-Star books never happened, nobody would be the wiser.
Mm-hmm.
They don't matter.
I think the biggest problem, because I do enjoy reading them, is that they come out every 8 or 10 years.
Yeah. And Lord knows, I want to live to see the end of the series.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten to the place where I enjoy Batman, and Superman is kind of out there, but they don't come out enough to enjoy them.
All right, let's move to our next voicemail.
This is Josh Wallace from the Podholics. Calling to give you a little assignment for your crack team of assassins that are going to be in San Diego. If anyone could just kind of walk up to Damon Lindelof and kick him in the nuts for me, that would be greatly appreciated.
All right, thanks, Josh, for the email. I think
voicemail. It was a voicemail.
It was a voicemail.
Okay. It came in email form.
He's not kidding about this hot room. Listen, Ron, you got something to say about that, don't you? I believe that you were the one there.
I was the only one who went to the Lost panel, aside from Gordon the intern. And Josh, I failed you. I thought about getting up to the line, to the microphone, to ask about Ultimate Wolverine Hulk, and I...
Because you heard it before this.
And I punked out. I completely punked out. I didn't want to detract. It's a big room. There's a lot of people, and they all wanted lost, Hanso.
And you saw what happened to that girl on YouTube.
Exactly. So I didn't do it. But,
it was mentioned, wasn't it? The book?
It did come up in a Marvel panel, and Quesada's answer was, go ask Damon.
He basically said,
pass the book.
It's what are you going to do? It's not done. Exactly. I can't,
Isn't it amazing how these guys buckled down to the Hollywood talent?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if some regular guy was doing the book and just was like, I can't finish it.
They'd find some intern to do a fill-in issue.
But all you got to do is be a writer on a TV show, and you can write a book every 6 months.
Have you noticed it's getting harder to get into comics than it is TV? Because now comics are just hiring all the TV people.
My TV jobs come much easier than my comic jobs. I have noticed that.
So he's mocking me.
All right, next voicemail.
Hello, iFanboys. This is Dominic, otherwise known as the Grimace, because nothing can kill the Grimace. Well, anyway, I was calling to express my excitement for San Diego, because I figured, hey, that'd be fun. The chance to get to meet you guys, because I thought, hey, maybe that'd be fun, too. It looks like I'm not going to be able to go. Pretty disappointing. You know, I asked my friend. He said he couldn't go. He couldn't afford it. And I said, bullshit. Can't argue with the guy. My girlfriend couldn't get the weekend off. And there's no way in hell my car's going to make it down there. It's a piece of crap. Well, I was going to say, you guys should do this again. Or, next time you're all in L.A., maybe I can just buy you guys dinner. Or lunch. It doesn't have to be a date. You guys don't have to worry about that. I'll bring my girlfriend so you guys don't feel all weird. So, you guys got to do that again. Because, like, I know I'm missing out. I know other people are missing out. Oh, and another thing. I know you guys were talking about Brubaker bringing people on to Uncanny X-Men. I'm one of those people. I don't usually read X-Men books. But I started reading that one because he started writing it. And I followed that guy around, especially after Sleeper. So I'm definitely one of those guys. Anyway, from the Grimace, have a good day.
Okay, thanks, Dominic.
I don't get the Grimace thing. I'm going to admit, I don't get it.
I think it's a joke.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, I hope so.
So we'd love to go to San Diego again, too. Maybe next year.
I don't know. It got kind of weird there in the middle.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
I guess, glad you're reading Brubaker's X-Men.
Dude, Sleeper, though. It's one of those books that we should have talked about more in the podcast because it's awesome.
It's not around anymore.
It was never
though.
Around in the podcast.
Yeah. I know that, but I talk
we
about
can't
stuff
go back
that
in time.
Listen, I talked about other books that aren't being published
if
anymore.
If you tuned into the Pick of the Week podcast from June 14th, 2003, when we talked about Sleeper,
you're amazing. It didn't exist.
Very forward thinking of you.
Next email, voicemail.
Oh, you did it too.
You did it too.
Hey, guys. Great San Diego guys. This is Andy Lawler from Charlotte, North Carolina, again. I just love this call. Anyway. So I'm really troubled by the end of Civil War III and Thor coming in on the side of the pro-registration people. I guess there's some sort of like, you know, he's still smarting from Ragnarok and power and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't really care. But I think the real problem with the pro-registration side is that there's nobody who has the moral authority that Captain America has. I mean, to me, Iron Man is not really Captain America's antagonist in this, because what's Iron Man? Iron Man's some drunk rich boy. You know, who's, you know, been making billions off selling things that kill people. And, you know, the only character in the Marvel Universe who has any sort of moral authority as much as he does, Captain America does, is maybe Spider-Man. So I think that's really the pivotal thing. Anyway, that's my problem. What do you guys think? That's why I think you're never going to be able to make a compelling pro-registration argument, because you're opposing Captain America.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Insightful.
We are huge in Charlotte, by the way. We get so many emails and voicemails from people in Charlotte, so thank you, Charlotte.
You know, but if you're going to leave a voicemail, don't ask a whole question and then say, but I don't really care about that. Keep it short, huh?
So he does bring up a good topic.
He's right, and I had this discussion. You know that Marvel is anti-registration, because they keep talking about it's balanced, because Captain America is on one side. Captain America is infallible.
Yeah.
And you know he's on the right side. He's never on the wrong side.
Some interesting thoughts, though. Does Captain America represent the American ideal or the American dream?
You just blew my mind.
And furthermore,
I mean, this kind of ties into, like, and I don't mean to get political here or anything, but, like, do you remember when being patriotic and being liberal was something that actually happened?
Right.
Whereas not being conservative now means that you're not patriotic?
To conservatives.
Yeah.
Depends on your point
right,
of view.
Right, depends on your point of view, right. But also, depend, you know...
Mainstream.
I've asked that question about Captain America, though.
Yeah.
I've said, is he being an American, or is he not? Like,
well, because he represents the American ideal from the 40s.
Yeah, and the spirit.
Yeah, exactly, the spirit. And the thing is, and he stepped away from the mantle of Captain America before when he doesn't like what the government's doing. So
because Captain America isn't a government lackey. He's America.
Right.
He's not Captain Government.
Right,
Captain America.
I wonder if he recorded that voicemail before Amazing Spider-Man came out, because he certainly got what JMS wanted to say.
Yeah,
which is one of the reasons it was a really good book.
Didn't we talk about that already?
No, we didn't get into it.
It was so long ago.
I know.
All right. Well, thanks for all those great voicemails. It was awesome to come back from San Diego with so many waiting for us. So, if you wanted to leave a voicemail for iFanboy, you could call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888.
Fanboys.
Spell it out on your phone. I don't have a phone in front of me, so I can't do it. So if you do want to leave a voicemail, here are some tips, though.
Keep it short. We can't play a 3-minute voicemail, so, you know, keep it to like a minute or so. Just send us the questions that people are sending us emails about, maybe, instead of, you know, just some of those discussion questions and things like that. You know, just remember, we got to play it.
It's basically your best chance to get on the podcast is to call us with a question. If you're just calling us to tell us about what comics you like, we'll listen to the voicemail, we'll enjoy it, but we're not going to call you back. So.
And then also at the end, after you've done your question, you've sort of said your goodbye, tell us your email address so that we can get back to you if we don't play on the show.
If we don't play on the show, we want to let you know that we got it and all that whole deal. And also don't forget your name and where you're from, because everyone, you know, you should represent. Yo.
Speaking of representing.
Frappa.
I'm not in front of a computer.
Neither am I. But I do know that it's like something like 260-something people.
Yeah, it exploded. We got like 30 or something like that in the last week.
Thank you, everybody. Keep it up.
So next week we'll be
more specific. The hard push to 300, folks. I don't know why I'm obsessed with this number. So, all right. Is there anything else that we need to discuss here on the podcast?
Let's see. There's a couple of our little things that we like to always close up with. If you want to, if you haven't, we'd really appreciate it if you want to go leave an iTunes review for us, or you know, vote for us on Podcast Alley. Or
leave a review on Podcast Alley.
Yeah.
Let people know what you think. Spread the word about iFanboy via iTunes or to your friends.
That really helps, so thanks.
Yeah. That's in the U.S. and the U.K. because they're different.
Right? And
there's
countries.
A couple in the U.K. now, though.
There's right. Actually, you can do it in Italy, too. If you're
Italy.
In Italy, please do. I know we have one person's in Italy. Anyway.
Buongiorno.
If you want to get in touch with us, if you have any questions, you can always shoot us an email at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can call the aforementioned voicemail line 1-888-FANBOYS.
Number to be determined.
And also, if you dig what we do on the site and on the podcast, and if you liked our San Diego coverage, and you have a couple bucks, feel free to donate. Go to ifanboy.com/donations. We've got a monthly and yearly subscription donation plan, as well as you can donate as much as you like. We're constantly trying to figure out ways to make the site and the podcast better, and we're using your dollars to do that. So.
Listen, after San Diego, we're in the hole.
Yeah, pretty rough. Pretty hardcore. So,
deep.
So as always, head over to ifanboy.com, look for the pick of the week discussion. It's going strong. Last week when we were in San Diego, you guys did a kick-ass job of doing our jobs for us, so thank you.
Yeah, we literally didn't look at it.
We literally didn't even look at the site at all. And also go to ifanboy.com to see whatever we're talking about in the wonderful world of comics. So I think that wraps it up, boys.
That really is?
I think it is. All right, take it easy.
Bye.
See you next
week. Thank you so much for listening.